When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our pre-Vegas hangover edition of The Meta Show. I'm Brisker Ball. I am joined alongside the Mitanni. Today is October the 16th, 2021. In less than a week, 5 days for some of us, 3 days for some people, if your name happens to be the Mitanni, we will be meeting up, as always, in Las Vegas in October for eVegas. I am super excited about it, boss. Are you super excited about it?
I am super excited about it as much as I can be through my very mild hangover. I want to give a shout out here that Toasty Nick is absolutely has the tea on me. Mittens looking like a suburban dad on his day off. So this is my sort of SpaceX branded hangover hoodie. And, you know, I've just been I earned my battle scars last night on the Rampage Incorporated stream with Brisk and Nam and Merc. I don't know if some of you guys caught that. It was like a 3.5 hour odyssey. And honestly, they're all looking better than me today. Like they drank twice as much as I did. And so, you know, you got to give props where it's due. And, you know, I'm holding up really well. Like, I'm not saying it's the end of the world hangover, but I honestly think I earned the L compared to the Rampage guys last night. So it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. It's just it's a fun little show. Slow on the recovery.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, not everybody are elite e-athletes like myself and Merc and especially in the drinking department. And last night was the culmination, for those of you who watched the show, of our Oktoberfest beer tour, which was about 2 weeks long. It included a number of very, very good beers, including the one we had last night, which was the Weihenstephaner Fest beer, which is was the highest rated. We gave it a 10. We'd never give 10s. There's only like two beers on the earth that have gotten 10s out of us, and we gave this one a 10. And it was a great night. It was a fun night. I think we all drank about 12 to 15 of those. And, yeah, thank God for Smarty Parts and Mrs. Brisk saving my life with all of the hangover cures that she's managed to put together. So that was good. So if you want to go check that out, go check it out.
My girlfriend has been very solicitous and wonderful in patching my burping, farting, hungover ass back together today. So shout out to her. Wow. Okay. But we actually do have some, it's not just going to be all like, hey guys, we had beer. Like, there's some actual space stuff going on that we're going to be digging into. We have some, you know, honestly, it's very high school, right? Like, basically AOM is throwing shade. Fulcrum is throwing some shade at Norris, and Norris is snubbing all of these. Anyway, whatever. Like, it's sort of RuPaul's Drag Race-y. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it feels sometimes when we get up here on Saturdays, sometimes we're going to talk about spaceships blowing up, and sometimes we're going to be talking about angry internet nerds pointing fingers at each other and saying, no, you're the RMT guy. No, it's like literally the fucking Spider-Man meme of, you know, just Fulcrum pointing at Norris. Norris didn't start this, but it's been an escalating drama. And so that's kind of one of the things we have today, because it might go big picture, galactic chessboard, rearrange things. If the AOM FRT thing escalates and kicks off and goes someplace interesting, that's going to be the next big thing. But I don't want to pitch it as if it's already the next big thing, because right now it's literally just every week or so Fulcrum is saying Norris is getting banned or Norris is bad or whatever, which either could be a gear up for a campaign or it could be an indication of fear and anxiety from AOM as regards to FRT. So that's kind of what we have our eyeballs on when it comes to like the next big potential thing.
So here, I mean, if you want to look at it, here is our handy dandy screen where we can look at this stuff. And as you can see, this was the latest post by our dear friend Fulcrum smearing the reputation of FRT's leader, Norouse. So he talks about FRT being, you know, one of the unquestionable winners of World War B2, which we have branded the Vietnam War. So make sure you get it right next time.
The Vietnam War, motherfuckers.
Vietnam War. They lost some of their home and they moved around. But in the end, Fraternity got out of the war pretty unscathed. They didn't lose a ton of ships. They didn't lose a ton of supers. They were smart enough to like wait to jump into M2. So they kind of didn't have some of the problems that some of the other big groups did. And I think everybody viewed them, despite the fact that they were nominally part of Pappy, that these guys were the winners. Now, what do we have here again? Yet another post. This was submitted a couple days ago by Fulcrum, put on Reddit. And it rehashes the same stuff that he did the week before. And he keeps talking about how, oh, Norouse guys keep getting banned. All of his characters are banned. Norouse is banned. Nextorian hasn't logged in a month. Norouse's cat was on for like 2 days and then never came back. What is going on? Is he being banned? What do we know? There's the claim of a $4 trillion-esque neg walleting from RMT, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Because that neg wallet, that screenshot from years ago, guys, like there's buyer and there's seller stuff. Like this is all rumor and stuff, but like the generally understood rumor, you know, again, we don't know if it's true, but sort of like the accepted backroom thing is that like the Fraternity neg wallet incident from like 4 years ago or whatever, was for buying at scale, right? And so it's really interesting because like you see people that look more like they're on the seller side throwing shade at somebody who was on the buyer side, because the difference between if you want to buy a buttload of ISK and you do it through the black market, you shouldn't do that. The right thing to do is just go to CCP and do what like the Illuminan tycoon did, like, you know, because periodically rich people come to play Eve and they're like, I'm gonna set 50 grand on fire. That's how White Noise, call back to God, the branch war. We're talking 2011 here. White Noise was funded by a very wealthy Russian. Rumor has it. Allegedly. And you know, it ended up being legit because, you know, if you just go to CCP with a bucket of money and say, I want to use your perfectly legal Plex buying system to spend money and get ISK in game, you can do that. And periodically, you know, there are these big,
they'll even give you deals too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, whales keep games alive. So it is what it is. And also one of the things we found from the White Noise incident is that as long as the source of ISK has something that can be attackable, like, you know, we crushed White Noise when the time came. Like, that was one of the first regions that I got to. One of my baby's first campaigns as a CEO back in way back when I first sat in the big chair. Unlike with the casino stuff where you can't attack it. So anyway, it's just sort of weird to me because it's like, you know, yeah, Norris got banned for buying a bunch of ISK, allegedly. I don't know if that's true. And then it's just so strange to see the guys who are, I don't know. It's just, it's so fucking shady, right?
Do any of these guys have clean hands?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
the thing. Like, if you're going to, you're sitting in a glass house throwing your stones, that's fine. But Fulcrum, as far as I'm aware, AOM has had problems with RMT and botting too. You know, and if you look in and you see,
look at the
whenever
fucking
they
pie
yank,
chart of shame, for God's sake.
Correct. When you yank, when you're seeing your guys, Titans and Supers, getting yanked in the ULI and killed during GM week, you have to ask yourself, maybe some of my guys are doing bad stuff. But you can't sit here and like, just because you haven't been banned or you haven't gotten busted for something specifically, that you're going to go after Norouse with all this stuff. You got to have a little bit more evidence than, well, he hasn't logged in a month.
I mean, God, I'm glad people don't know what my alts are, because if people, I mean, also I have a reputation for not logging into the game. So, you know, but it is a little like, ooh, you haven't logged in. And I just didn't expect it. Of all these dramas. World. Yeah. Right? So, another thing about this is like, I don't want to take sides in any of this shit, right? Like the one thing, this is like sort of an Imperium policy thing, I guess, but you know, in the aftermath of the war, I think that there's a fair amount of, you know, as far as we're concerned, Pappies are still Pappies, because as far as goons are concerned, when we go out and do something, if you're in the Imperium, you go out and do something, the Pappies go back to being Pappies real quick, right? The moment that we're doing anything, oh, suddenly you're all Pappy again.
Wow, Horde and Test are in the same fleet again. How did this happen?
Exactly. And so my attitude is fuck all y'all. And I want to run a lawnmower over the entire galaxy again. But I don't want to have us go out there and like get stuck in on one of these like slap fights or these things. It's basically pox on everybody's house. We're going to honorably third party everyone. You guys can start killing each other. We're not going to give you the excuse of picking one of these sides. And as a matter of policy, if the FRT AOM thing kicks off, we are not getting involved in that one way or another, right? Like that is a classic situation. You don't get between Russians fighting. You don't get in between this FRT AOM thing. And please stop trying collectively to get us to take one side or the other, right? It ain't happening. We're going to sit on our hands and watch everybody kill each other. Because again, the moment we go out there and start doing things, y'all get all Pappy. Right. So also we have Vegas coming up. You have a few weeks to murder each other without the Imperium really doing anything other than murdering our own livers. So, you know, yeah, have fun with that.
You know, I have to say, I am kind of happy that the war has calmed down to the point, or at least, you know, the Vietnam portion of the war is over.
Yeah.
And Tess is hiding up in Outer Passage and the rest of these guys are out crabbing their eyes out. We'll talk more about crabs.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But the benefit is my big worry last year was that while we were in Vegas partying, because that's what we do, that the bad guys who don't have lives would be out there trying to fuck with us. And that was something I was worried about. But fortunately, COVID hit and, you know, we didn't have to worry about it. Right. I guess there was a silver lining to not being able to leave your house. During the war, because we got to
didn't happen.
Right. Eve San Diego didn't happen either. So the good thing is we don't have to worry about that now, but I'll be interested to see if anybody does do any of these big moves.
There've been so many attempts at that over the years. Like it's almost Vegas. Like a ritual where like either Vegas or FanFest, the puppies will try to do something. Like I remember several FanFests where like Vince tried to get frisky with a dread bomb or something, or somebody did something stupid, but, We have a lot of very bored, very dedicated people who bring their battle stage, like, you know, bring a war laptop with you. I don't think that's going to be an issue this Vegas at all, but it's always been funny in the past for people because, you know, everybody goes to FanFest and we're sitting around like drinking and going like, you know, hey, let's check in. I want to see these dumbasses are up to something. Let's see if we can turn it into a trap. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Right. You know, hope springs eternal.
So moving on, we're going to go into the NullSec Power Hour here real quick because we have a little bit of drama. It's interesting drama, but it's drama that I think has been kind of on below the radar. Mm-hmm. So not everybody's aware of what's going on mm-hmm. in the North. And I wanted to walk you guys through it because it's an interesting story at the very least. And it's got some backstabby back and forth type stuff going on. So at least, hey, it's something to talk about. So we're going to the NullSec Power Hour. We're going to talk about mm-hmm. the upcoming fights between RHP and Volta. And you're going to get the whole background from me here right now. So, the North. Let's talk about the North.
The Northwest specifically, right? We're doing
correct.
The
we are talking right. about the Northwest. So when we were back in the day, Darkness controlled most of the North, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy, Darkness, Sword Dragons group. They controlled the Northwest for a considerable amount of time.
Thanks for the raid, Pando.
Oh, Pando, thank you.
Pando welcome. Raided us. We're saying hello.
Thank you, sir. We're going to get to, we got to talk about you in a little bit because you had a good conversation with CCP Rise about these crab modules we're going to get to in Piercing the Corporate Veil.
That sounds like news.
But getting back to the whole situation here. So the North has basically been it's basically been Somalia for a while because there's nothing up there but random groups fighting with each other. There's no real solid hegemon. There's no real solid like who's in charge of everything. So let me run you through. I'm gonna go through, show you the SOV map and talk a little bit about the groups that are up there and then what's happening now with Federation of Respect, Honor, Passion Alliance, the German group versus Volta versus Banderlogs and Brave and all the other stuff that's going on up there right now that I think is causing some drama. So hip to our crazy little screen here. So here is this is basically the quick and dirty. Here's how the North looked in January of 2020. You can see Ranger Regiment up north, Sib squads. This is when in it pre-war. You have penis out. You've got, I always say penis out, even though it's pen is out, but it's supposed to be penis. Penis out. You got pine cones up here. This is pre the destruction of the pine cones. So that always makes me laugh a little bit because the pine cones are still around. And basically, you've just got a lot of these little groups. It's very balkanized up there. So here we go with, we're going to play this. You can see some of the groups move around. Fraternity goes up there. Conifers takes over for a long time. The pine cones were up there for a while. French Connection took a giant chunk of the space up in the northwest. Then basically, pine cones gets just dumpstered. Here's the start of the war. Hoare takes Fountain.
Oh, pine cones stay where they are. There's no such thing as floodplains. There's no such thing as floodplains. Oh,
exactly.
Look at it. Took it back. Doing exactly what we said that they were going to do.
So you see now you've got Sylvanas Super Mercenary up there. You've got We Form Volta. That red in the center of Sylvanas was the FRHPA guys. They ended up taking all the space from Sylvanas. So the way that the North kind of ended up, you had Tri holding Clown Ring, our favorite system. We don't call it Cloud Ring. It is Clown Ring. Triumvirate holding Clown Ring. You had Fed Up hand holding Summer Fountain for a while till the end of the war, and we came back. That's the end of that video. So you had FHRP up there. You had Volta up there. You had Bander Logs up there. You had Toilet Paper up there. You had a bunch of these little groups up there. And they formed a loose coalition called the Greater Trash Coalition, which I thought was very, very amusing. It's very cute. And they're all over the place up north. And here's the static map of that. Again, we can throw back up if you guys want to look at that to give an idea what we're looking at here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got Fraternity, RHP, Volta, Tri, a lot of these other groups, Banner Logs, TP, and then the SSM guys that are in there. What happens? Brave announces they're moving to Pure Blind. This upsets a whole bunch of stuff, okay? Not the least of which is that the RHP guys have been very hardcore independent. They don't want to be part of any of these blocks. They ended up, I think they paid tribute to Volta. So I guess you could argue maybe that they were Volta renters, or at least that they were paying Volta off not to take their space. But they were in a loose coalition with Volta. They were helping Volta out. They were doing stuff with GTC. And essentially, they got tired of it. They didn't want to be pushed around anymore. And the result was when Banderlogs starts fighting Brave, Volta is with Brave. Volta's like, hey, we want Brave to move to Pure Blind. We think these guys are great. We think this is going to be a good amount of content. We have a major NullSec alliance moving up here to our area. This is what we want. So they agreed with Brave, hey, Brave, come on in. We'll help you out. They helped get their foothold in Pure Blind. And as you know, I'll pull this up and show you the map of Pure Blind right now. Brave, it's they're not doing great. They've got... You get my handy dandy little, where is my, I got to whip my pen out.
I need like a laser pointer and something or other. Yeah.
Pen.
Like,
there is my pen. So Brave has taken like one constellation down here. That's all that they have. And they're still staging at a 5ZX up at the top of the screen there. You can see that there. And then that's what they've taken. That's all they've taken so far. Okay. But what ended up happening was during all of this fun, in the middle of a fight, RHP sets Banderlogs blue and then sits on the structure that Banderlogs was defending against Brave and Volta. And Volta's like, what the hell just happened? So they send out this ping. And I'll pull this up on the screen. They send this ping out saying, RHP have been removed from the GTC coalition. They've decided to betray us and have already set FRT, Hoare, Banderlogs, and others blue expressly against our agreement. More details to follow, but as of now, RHP is set red. They were spooling on our iHubs during a strat op against Banderlogs well in advance of us confronting them about this. So Volta is saying they got stabbed in the back. by these guys that were arguably ostensibly part of their coalition. Now, what do the RHP guys say? They say the opposite. They say Volta betrayed us. That Volta fleet nuked a roaming RHP gang without any warning while we were blue. There was no formal declaration of war or any other warning, as honorable alliances would do it.
I kind of want to just go bully these guys, honestly.
Well, like this is the thing. This is the thing. And I will say this. I've talked to the RHP guys a lot. They are very verbose. They want to get their message out. And they're very concerned that Volta has a very solid propaganda machine, which makes sense because, like, almost immediately, like, the first post any of us saw was this one from Volta talking about this war starting. And basically they're saying this is RHP's leadership. They're doing bad by the members, and they're goofing off and doing stupid shit. And the result is now they're in a fight that they're going to have a hard time winning. And let me be blunt. The RHP guys, these are not PvP guys. These are a lot of industry guys. They are a lot of crabbers. They are a lot of folks that have had the benefit of living in relatively safe space next door to some of the big groups. And they've done I have to give them credit. They've done a pretty good job on the diplomacy side, because again, if you look at the map, who's next door? Fraternity's next door. What is fraternity like? Space to give out to renters. So the fact that they were at least able to stay independent enough that fraternity didn't just take their space from them, that's pretty solid. Tri hasn't done it either, and neither has Volta. But now, Volta's pissed, RHP's pissed, and I got to say, if you're going to put me have to pick between, like, one of the most hardcore group of PvPers in the history of EVE Online versus RHP,
I hadn't, you know, the thing that got me, and the reason, and we're not going to go mess with these guys because they're just so small scale. We'd sort of ruin this lovely fuckfest or whatever the hell that's like. I love the chaos that I'm seeing in the Galactic North. It reminds me of after we purged Tribute in 2019, and you sort of like let a hundred flowers blossom. But what got me was I didn't realize that their full official name was Federation of Respect, Honor, Passion, Alliance, dot. Right. And it, like the full sentence with the period on the end, it just really sent me. And so we're not going to go up there and mess with you guys, but my God, that's a name.
it's definitely a mouthful. It's definitely a mouthful. Volta kind of rolls off the tongue.
It's a full fucking sentence.
FRHPA dot. Not so much. So that's why we call them RHP. But in any event, it'll be interesting to see what happens. My understanding is Volta is ready to fight. RHP has been reaching out and trying to ask everybody that they possibly can to come help. They've asked Init, they've asked Fraternity, they've asked everybody to try to come help them, because I think they recognize that Volta is going to be pretty tough. But I get the feeling, I just don't know how many folks are going to want to go up there. You know, I just don't know how many folks are going to want to go up
into a fart joke. Like, I'm looking at their abbreviations and I'm trying to make it into some sort of like a fart noise joke, but it's not. Frappa. It just seems like it should be like kind of I don't know. This is the quality of Space Empire Emperor stuff you guys have got today. I'm a little bit dumber and a little bit punchier, but yeah, it is interesting to see these things develop, because these level of hilarious. These kind of hilarious fuck ups and the kind of amateur hour mistakes that you're seeing happen across the galaxy are one of the reasons why, like, the Imperium isn't going to be going to war in a direct way or take sides on any of these things. Because frankly, you know, you only really get a chance to see some of the really hilarious, like, oops, did they really do that shit? If you let groups that have never had a chance to have a shot at NullSec get out there and fuck up and faceplant and get involved in silly dramas and make some enemies and stuff. So, you know, that is one of the reasons why we started glassing stuff and then not conquering it. We just, like, we would purge our enemies' crap and then leave, because then you create a garden of interesting, whatever the fuck this is exactly, but it's more interesting than just a renter zone. That's for sure. Because fuck all landlords forever. All right.
So, hey, you know what? If the renters are rising up and they're pissed off and they want to fight back, good for you guys. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to lose but your chains, guys. That's it. So let's do it. All right. So we are done with the NullSec Power Hour. Let's go on. We've got a bunch of random CCP related stuff. We have the new MER for September, which I don't think was earth shattering, but we can talk about it. We've also got the new CRAB modules. We have some more information about those coming out from Pando show. CCP Rise joined Pando yesterday and talked about the new CRAB modules, which was very good. So that was very helpful to see CCP Rise out there talking about them. I think there is still concern about how these are going to work, how they're going to work in NullSec in particular, how the energy game, the interference aspect of it is going to play out. Because the one thing that they did talk about, and we can go into, and I'll show you guys in a second, is these are not going to be runnable by people 24 hours a day. You can't just run 1,000 of these in a row. You're going to be limited to the amount that you can run based on how much energy, how much interference there is in the system, and then how many times you've run them during the day. And the result is going to be that I think it's going to create a couple of things. I think first, there's going to be a real push in the beginning for people to want to do these, and then some other stuff. So let's get into that here. We're going to pierce the corporate veil. We're going to talk first about the CRAB modules, and we're going to go into the MER, and then we'll talk about whatever else comes up. So
sounds good.
Piercing the corporate veil. So as you saw, as we talked about last week, you have the all new Capital gameplay, Summon the Swarm. This was announced. We talked about it briefly. We ran one of the sites on the show for you guys 2 weeks ago to show you how it works. We have some new information about it that was added in terms of energy. There's been some feedback provided on the forums. You guys can see. But essentially, they've set it up so that these beacons, you can launch 3 of them or so a day from 1 per character. And you can only run a certain number. We don't know the exact numbers of how many you're going to be able to run per system per day. But that's going to do a couple of things, I think. Obviously, one is going to make sure that people have to spread out. They can't just do them in super space safe places. The more that they're being run, the greater chance that you're going to be pushed to the edge of a super cap umbrella or somewhere where potentially you could get dropped and you would not be able to get saved by a fleet. So that's something that makes them a little more riskier. There's been a couple of other things that they did. They tuned the fighters, as I understand it. The fighters were getting attacked quite a bit by the drones in these sites. They've toned that down, which means that it seems likely now that you're going to be able to run these with a supercarrier rather than only being forced to use dreads. I think that's good because that's what we wanted. We wanted super level type anomalies. We didn't really need a dread thing, especially given the prices of dreads right now. We wanted to see more supers in space, more titans in space, because we like to see supers dying. And unfortunately, I think the biggest issue with the CRAB module has nothing to do with the module itself. It has to do with the inability of people to be able to replace their losses if they do risk these ships and lose them. And that's what I'm kind of worried about the most. Do you want to get on your dread soapbox?
I got new information here, guys. So as you know, if we're going to have to rant about this every week, I want to make sure that I have the updated data provided to me by our expert industrialists, because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I basically listen to people like Kunmi or Angry Mustache or Penguin Bacon in this case. Had some pretty interesting statistics here. When we're talking about how much water it takes to produce something, in this case, when I say water, I mean the P1 planetary interaction output water. 2.8 million M3 of that P1 is required to go into a Wyvern. And the Wyvern costs 91 billion ISK to build. We went on a little rant about this on the Rampage Incorporated stream last night because Kunmi was throwing some stats our way and I was horrified, as one would be. And yeah, so that's just to sort of make these things, put these in a bit context. I have an Eve Prazel link for you guys to argue over, because I am not qualified to tell anybody anything about this, except that all of the people that know what the hell they're talking about are rightfully unhappy about. This is sort of infinity. Don't we have on the screen there? We had like for a moment we were staring into a mirror, and now we're looking at Eve Prazel. So yeah, shit's fucked up. Shit continues to be fucked up. Great.
And for the guys who are excited and looking at who I follow on Twitch, of course I follow Amaranth. Everyone follows Amaranth. Mrs. Brist told me to follow Amaranth. So that's why we watch it. We have to keep her. We have to keep her numbers up. We got to look at her numbers and see how she's doing. Anyway, if you guys were watching Rampage, you would understand the Amaranth thing, but that's for another show. Anyway,
okay.
Continue, boss. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So one of the questions here is, why are we running with the Wyvern as the example? Like, why is that the economist's like Big Mac price index? Like, why are we going with that? We're using the Wyvern because people are not ever really going out of their way. I mean, some people like them, I guess, and they're great and all, but it's not normally like, gosh, I want to have a Wyvern. And something occurred to me last night before I had too many beers when I was on the Rampage Incorporated stream about some of the assumptions that CCP is making about scarcity. I think are fundamentally flawed, because it seems to me, because it's ludicrous to have a 90 billion-esque Wyvern, because a Wyvern is just not that good. It's like paying, I don't know, $100,000 for a Ford Focus. Like, it's great. It gets the job done, I guess. It is what it is. It's a Wyvern, but it ain't worth that. And, you know, people will periodically ask to the point that it's become a meme about building a Palatine Keepstar and stuff like that. And CCP has often justified things like this by saying, oh, well, people want that because it's a big dick. You know, it's like it's a penis thing. Openly enough, back in the day, old CCP would say stuff like that. And it occurs to me that I think that it's like they want them to be Veblen goods, right? And if we can all Wikipedia this shit, a Veblen good is a good that the price of the good itself is the value. And in fact, the more expensive it is, the more valuable it is. And this is usually a thing with like luxury goods. And I think that there's a fundamental misunderstanding.
Louis Vuitton bag or a Rolex watch. It doesn't cost $3,000 to make a Rolex.
Exactly. Like, the value of the good is the fact that you can show that you bought the really fucking expensive thing. And, you know, I don't know if CCP gets enough into the psychology or the sociology or the figuring out how the humans actually behave stuff enough to think things through here. But there does seem to be a fundamental and repeated flaw in their logic about pricing and encouraging behavior. Because here's the deal. Veblen goods in the real world are not destructible in the way that stuff is in EVE Online, right? So like, if you were going to get a Louis Vuitton bag, or you were going to get yourself a bunch of black pearls or whatever, and then as you're walking along, somebody hot drops your purse and you don't have your purse anymore, you probably wouldn't want to, you know, spend that money because, you know, the thing might be destroyed. So suddenly it becomes a very different calculation.
If buying that bag means it's going to be stolen, no one's going to buy the bag.
Exactly. And so one of the things that just doesn't work, and I think that CCP has just not gotten this, even in the reams of player behavior data that they should be collecting and have, is when stuff gets too expensive, but it's also just as destructible as before, only the super rich are going to go out and crash Ferraris into trees, and everybody else is going to run for cover. And then pretty soon, nobody's going to build the Ferraris anymore, because there's only like, they've become like alliance tournament ships. Like, you know, it is not economical to just crash bar guests into everything, even though that would be hilarious fun and that's great. So, you know, I just think that it's weird. The reason I bring up the assumption about the Veblen goods is that it seems extremely anomalous to me that a video game company would have the entirety of the production line for their end game ships. And like, I'm a death to all supercaps guy. Like, I'm old school. I think, you know, originally Titans and Supers were dumb. I come from an era where we called mothership we called them motherships, and we made fun of people who called them mommies, toonies, desis, iskies. So old school wise, like, I've always been a fierce critic of these fucking things, but it just seems insane to me that when back in the day, the company was like, these are the in-game ships. Now we've got faction titans, faction dreadnoughts, and all of these things. And, you know, the carrot, to reward the in-game behavior of the individual pilot to chase after this stuff, is just busted now, because it's not an interesting, like, nobody wants to go, nobody's going to strive to, like, you know, if you built a Wyvern right now, everybody just make fun of you. Like, why the fuck did you,
why did you do that?
Like, why did you do,
why'd you do that?
Why did you cart around 2.8 million M3 worth of fucking P1 water. CCP. Like, is there anybody at CCP that did this thing on their spreadsheet, which all of our like industry guys out in NullSec have already done, have been making fun of in Feldistry for a while now, and gone like, yeah, we want to have our in-game, even not even the really good ones. Like, here's your just basic get the job done Caldari supercarrier, nothing special. It's a
Wyvern. Enjoy your 6 freighters worth of water you need to move.
Just
now.
Like, what the fuck? Like has anybody at CCP play tested and tried to build from scratch a fucking capital ship? Like, have they actually tried? Like, has anybody over there that designed this damn thing hauled however many fucking freighter loads it would take just to put a Wyvern in the cooker and try to source that much water and then move it around? Like, come on, guys, come on.
Exactly. So we have the Crab module. It goes live. This was the new news. We just had the news to come out, and I will pull it up. After begging them to tell us when it was coming, they told us when it was coming. It's coming. 19 October. When is that? That is Tuesday. So we are 3 days away from these Concord Rogue Analysis Crab beacons going live. Crab beacon, I guess, is kind of like an ATM machine. I guess I should just call them crabs instead of crab beacons. Anyway, the crab goes live on October 19th. What is going to happen on October 19th? We don't know. We don't know. I don't know how many people are going to run these. I don't know where they're going to run them. I don't know what they're going to run them in. I think we have some guesses, because it seems to me that I've seen so far the supercarriers and dreads, particularly the Revelation, are the best for running these. Now that they fixed their, at least supposedly they have fixed the fighter aggro issue. But I don't know. I don't know who's going to want to run them. Who's going to take the risk? If it's just going to be something that the big null blocks do, like in 1DQ, or in, you know, 39P or somewhere where there's definitely an umbrella that can warp to it. But I guess you probably wouldn't want to do it in there. You want to run it somewhere.
We're going to publish a guide in the Imperium. Like, we're not going to regulate these things when they come out, because we have to, you know, we have to see what CCP actually delivers. But we do have some of our best smarties, like Angry Mustache and the crew, are working to at least have some guidelines for Imperium pilots, as like, you know, just here's what we think we know about these things. But, you know, any meeting about internet spaceship policy that begins like, oh, hey, I just learned about the new thing that they did, and a director is like, yeah, they added Facebook energy to the thing, and I'm just like, what
they did, what they did,
there's right. Energy mechanic, right? And it's, and like the kind of you see in a fucking mobile game. And it's like, if you want it to just be a daily quest, just say you can only do it 3 times a day. Like, the energy stuff is just a little bit too close to like the mobile game microtransaction zone,
and to
we
be
do
honest,
not want to go there.
And to be honest, what I was critical of it, I mean, when we discussed this in the CSM, because, and I asked, I said, look, what's the point? Okay. The energy, it's like 3 times a day per character, but it doesn't matter who starts the crab module. Anybody can complete it. So at the end of the day, you could go and say, hey, I need your buddy to jump in a carrier real quick, spin this thing up, and then get out, and I'll run the site for you. So if you have
alts, you can just cycle alts through it. Yeah,
you can cycle alts through it. Exactly. You can cycle alts through it. You can cycle your buddies through it. I'm sure people could like, hey, give me a cut and I'll cycle this for you since you already hit your limit. Like this before, there's easy ways around it.
Weird. It's just weird. They don't normally do like mechanics like that. So it's just like, huh? Like, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see where it goes, right? Like the challenge that CCB needs to present here is that they have created a supply crisis. We're gonna try to go big brain here, and I am warning here, I'm not a macroeconomics guy, but like they have created a supply crisis because they have completely and utterly fucked the supply chain for actually building any capital class vessel, and there has yet to been any kind of public acknowledgement about the fact that every industrialist that actually knows anything has been screaming about this, and now even I'm talking about it. So the cap stuff is just fucked. And then they're trying to add demand into the equation. So they're trying to create demand for capital ships by incentivizing people to put them in space. But the issue was not demand side. You know, the demand for capital ships is actually, you know, everybody, you know, we want to smash them into each other. We want to throw capital ships at each other. And the reason why we are not throwing capital ships at each other is not because we don't want to, but because it takes 2.8 million M3 to build a fucking supercarrier and not even one of the exciting ones. Right. And so it reminds me, and this is unfortunate that I'm now making this connection. Sorry, guys, I'm going into like big brain, you know, glasses mittens mode.
He's shaking off the beer.
Yeah.
The beer fog is gone.
Well, you know, if you match the patterns of what we were talking about earlier in the show about how AOM and FRT is a frequently misunderstood conflict, because you need to understand like kind of like demand side and supply side, like the FRT stuff was on the buying issue, which is a completely different behavior than botting a whole bunch and selling. And oftentimes when people are sifting through these accusations, they don't match it. And so unfortunately, there is a pattern match when you think about the fucking CCP crab nonsense, when there is a openly knowledge amongst the player base supply crisis, which was created by people who apparently did not playtest dragging six freighters worth of fucking water to build a goddamn wyvern. And they're trying to unfuck that by adding to demand. Nothing is like, you know, it doesn't matter how great the crab sites are if you still have to take six freighters of water to build a wyvern, right? It's just... I hope they work out well. It's just that none of this fucking matters until people can build capital ships in the game. And it just seems so insane to me that this has been busted for so long and that there hasn't been a dev blog. There hasn't been acknowledgement, at least to my knowledge. And please correct me if I'm wrong. If CCB has gotten in front of this publicly in any way, anywhere, I will start singing their praises. Like, I don't want to just dunk on these guys, but it's stupid. It's stupid that it's been this bad for this long. And
my understanding is that it's working as intended. This is what they wanted to see.
Yeah. They wanted to see these prices jump. They should play test their goddamn game. And if you know, here's the thing, if you want to tell everybody that this is the way that it's working as intended, I want to watch you on a stream. I want to watch you on a stream drag 2.8 million M3s worth of water around and slam that shit where it needs to go. And I want you to smile and tell the camera that you enjoy this fucking gameplay in front of an entire audience of industrialists. And then we will believe you when you say that your industry system is working as intended. So why don't you work the industry system and we'll see if you enjoy what you intended. Idiots. It's just too long now. This is a core part of the end game of EVE Online. Crack a fucking psychology book.
And that's the thing.
Anything about sociology. Just listen to what people like. This is just.
It would be much easier.
Insultingly bad macroeconomics. It's so bad that even I understand how it's bad. It should never get to this point because this is outside the mittens Herfler of charisma zone, right?
And
talking about freighters of water.
The only reason that these guys are not seeing everybody picking their pitchforks up and give everyone a hard time is because there are so many of these ships in the game and everybody's husbanding them so that they don't lose anything, that nobody has had to have the pressure of trying to replace losses yet with stuff that they have to build. So they're not building anything, so we don't have to worry about it now. The minute we get into a war when there's big supercap fleet loss, yeah, you're going to start hearing some screaming. And when, if these crab modules start working and you start seeing a ton of ships out there and people start getting dropped, or the rats kill you, or, I mean, cause it happens, you get disconnected, or you're not paying attention, or your wife comes in to shoot you with a Nerf gun. You never know. Some things happen and you get distracted and you lose a ship. Then maybe we'll start seeing some pressure. But at least for now, there's no reason for it, because there isn't really any pressure, because there's nothing going on.
You know, somebody in chat saying, why isn't CCB hired? You know, they had an economist on staff a while back. They do have econ people, and they were very loud and put CCB Ghost on stream a whole bunch and be like, look, here's our resident psychology guy, and he does all these amazing things with the new player experience. And it's like, well, can we get a little psychology guy in the incentive structure of the whatever the fuck industry gameplay loop is? Like, that would be cool. But so, like, you know, this is the reason why I'm just pounding on these guys about it every week, because there's no fucking excuse. They literally have been marketing the fact that they have a psychology guy, and, you know, go do some psychology about that industry stuff, please.
Just a bit.
I mean, to be fair, I think the whole thing that they had Ghost focused on, and it makes good business sense, is working on NPE stuff. So I think that I've never really seen an area that had his fingerprints on it, at least in the NullSec Fun and Game Zone. But it is one of those things where, like, the people who are coding this thing could walk down the hallway and ask that dude, be like, yo, man, what do you think? Whatevs.
There you go. All right. So what else is going on? So the other big news of the week, CCP news of the week, and this is only going to matter to like six of you, but I'll bring it up anyway, because, you know, you six people spent a lot of money buying your MacBooks. So now you're so excited. Finally, after years and years and years of having to use Wine, there is a native Mac client for EVE Online. So congratulations, all you Mac guys. You got
It's apparently really good. Like, Tuzzy was saying that he, like, it runs super, super fast and is like a legit, like, Mac client, which is great, because it means that my travel battle station is going to work a lot better.
That's what I'm looking forward to. And I got to actually, before we leave for Vegas, I need to go downstairs and get my MacBook Air and make sure that EVE, the new client, is downloaded and stuff so we can see it. So, all right, let me pull. Before we go any further, I did want to say, because I noticed that he's in chat, Dakin Ball, happy birthday. I promised you a shout out for your birthday last night on Rampage. And despite the fact that I was three sheets to the wind, I still wrote it down, so I didn't forget. So happy birthday, my friend. All right. We have 10 minutes left.
We can take some questions from chat if we want to do
that. That's exactly what I'm going to suggest. Because
okay, here we go.
Mittens and I, we have, over the last 2 years of doing the show, have gotten away from the cool kids subscriber only mode thing.
That's right.
That used to be a standard meta show practice for like the last
cool kids club. Yeah. Last 15 minutes. Yeah, absolutely.
Last 15 minutes. We haven't done that in a while because, frankly, you're all cool kids to us.
Oh,
but really it's more because we just can't shut our mouths long enough to actually read anything you guys are writing in chat most of the time. So because this is a light week, we have time. We can start chatting about whatever we like.
Yes, I'm gonna,
and we'll go from there.
I'm gonna put us into cool kids only mode because I can, and hell yeah. So actually we should now be in cool kids only mode, and yeah, like as the, oh hey, what is this thing? Things are happening. I'm trying to operate, doing something live here. Oh my god,
we're doing it live. I see it. We are in subscribers only mode. It has happened.
All right,
okay, hell yeah. So one question that was asked before we went into cool kids mode, Magnus Manhammer asked, Brisk, what is your main way of making ISK? I have a job, so when I need ISK and I'm running low, I buy Plex and then I sell it, because that is the absolute most time efficient way for me to make money in this game. That's what I do. That's it.
All right.
That's it.
I am. When is the next Goon War going to be, and with who? Well, that's obviously a future plans question.
I was going to say future plans. Yep. Bingo.
Future plans.
Somebody hit bingo. I'm sure right now.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll just sort of have to see how things go. Like, basically, we are going to Vegas, right? So like I said earlier in the show, everybody has a couple of weeks to murder each other and not too much worry about what the Imperium is doing. And you know, that's really the thing is that we have seen that whenever we venture further afield, Pappy immediately pappies up. So if you guys want to see what the next Goon War is, stop being Pappy. Right. Like we are basically the way that this is going to go is right now, all these motherfuckers want us to deploy fully or do something and then they can get back together and try to degrade our power in the same way they were doing pre-war. And instead, we are just going to keep doing our thing, which I'm not going to talk about on the meta show. And, you know, we'll have to see what develops. But step one is the Pappy should probably stop being Pappy. Let's see. What else do we have here?
Another birthday shout out. Out to my init bro Veer. Happy birthday, my friend. I just saw that Panda did a roam for you, so I'm glad that you guys had fun.
In terms of in-client gameplay, what's your favorite thing to do in Eve? I am a complete anti-support whore. I just absolutely love nothing more than swatting frigates or other sorts of things down. I don't know why. I think it's some sort of I love Osprey Navy issues. I love giving missile. Giving missile is just like it's my like one of the first things I started doing in this game, like in terms of like a big Great War op, was the whole VCB thing where we just run around bumping into things, screaming give missile in local. And so I think I still just enjoy giving missile at the end of the day. And I'm sort of an aspirational, like I'm messing around with ONIs and I'm sort of aspirationally hoping to get good enough that I won't embarrass myself too badly in an Orthrus if I don't divert into like VedMac land. So that's where I am in terms of client stuff. And yeah, Brisk, how about you? The question applies to both of us. Favorite in client thing.
I mean, I like hanging with Merc and Nom and doing our small gang roams, and I love doing our structure bashes. I know you guys think it's funny that we like killing structures, but we do. It's very relaxing. It's fun. We get to hang out. We fart around. We have our races to see who can get highest DPS, who can get last blow. We do all kinds of stuff like that. We make it fun. So we like to clean up space trash. So if you guys have any random systems full of posses that have not been fueled in a while, let us know. We will be there to shoot them.
Got it.
Battle Angel asks, why does CCP start to spread information away from dev blogs to streams, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit? That's a good question. And it's one that I've asked them. And I think my biggest issue with it is it's hard to know where all the information is. It's hard to get it in front of people. And it's great that they want to do shows.
It's a ball of twine.
I mean,
it's like, yeah. Imagine a cat biffing around a ball of fucking string. That's CCP's org chart. Who fucking knows? Like, that's probably the real answer is, you know,
I mean,
I'll
tell you, as far as I can tell, the reason why they don't like doing dev blogs is because dev blogs take forever and it's something that's written by committee and it's not easy or quick for them. And they'd rather have their guys working than writing blogs about what they're doing. They'd rather have them doing it. And that makes sense to me. And that's why it's easier for them to go on a show. It's easier for them to put a post up on Reddit. The community team can do something like that very quickly because that's their job. But the hard part is when you're talking about like a dev blog, you need the designers who are working on the thing to write about it because they're the ones who know the mechanics. But these guys are not always the best when it comes to writing and not always are they the best that comes to writing in English. So it comes down to you have to have a team working on it, and it just sucks up a lot of time. That's why they don't like doing it. That being said, my understanding, and it is still the same understanding that I had last week, is that we should get some kind of a news item, hopefully before Tuesday, but it'll more likely than not, given their track record, it'll be on Tuesday about the crab modules, about the energy stuff, and making sure everybody understands that. That is still my understanding. They're still planning on doing that, at least as far as I know. If that has changed, hopefully somebody will tell me and I'll find out about it.
I got this dude. So this Tharg 76 guy was whining about how I wiped my mouth after I drank water and said,
I noticed that he said that and then you did it again.
I was like, panty waste is good. I haven't heard that. Is Alex? I love it when people who don't know me are like, Alex, one only needs to observe how poorly you've positioned those models behind you to glean what a distorted sense of perspective you have on most things. Yeah, it's called being lazy and throwing stuff on a shelf and not worrying about it.
I got my constitution sitting over here.
We haven't had one of these people to play with in a hot minute. This is interesting. But
please do cycle over here.
So I'm gonna wipe my mouth more because that makes me a panic. It's like, I love people like this. It's so rare that we get them anymore, probably because I shot them all.
that's absolutely the case. Normally we will have blown stuff, you know, blown these guys out of an airlock a while ago. But
yeah, it's okay. I love it. It is interesting from, so somebody had a real question about like sociology books, that I might recommend. Let me take a look. One good one when it comes to like a group and org stuff is Tribal Leadership. That's always like a thing. It's a little cliche, but you know, at least breeze through the Simon Sinek TED Talks, like, or just read Start With Why. That's a real good one. Let's see what else we got here. I have just a bunch of shit, but like, you know,
what's the one that you told me to read in Vegas 2 years ago that I did? The Dictator's Handbook.
Oh yeah, no, that's a real good one. That's more like political science-y, but it actually makes a lot of sense. I think the Dictator's Handbook is absolutely great. And Netflix actually then recently, like Netflix's How to Become a Tyrant, extensively interviews Bruce Bueno de Mesquite, or whatever the fuck you pronounce his name, who is one of the authors of that, co-authors of that. Somebody says War College. Another book that I think is really important for understanding at least Eve behavior is Violent Politics, which was written by a War College guy in like 2007 and 2008, and it's about the history of insurgencies and sort of the group dynamics that lead to stuff like that. So those are a few to get started with.
All right, I'm also being told it's Kinky Winky's birthday. We have a lot of Innit guys that have the same birthday. Your parents must all got busy the same week or something, man. It's pretty crazy. We have reached the end of the show. Guys, listen. We are less than a week from Eve Vegas. I'm excited. You're excited.
We are.
Obviously, next Saturday, we will be in Eve Vegas. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people asking, are you guys going to do a show in Vegas? Are you guys going to do a show in Vegas? Can you tell me what about you going to do a show in Vegas? I have some great news for you. We are not doing a show in Vegas.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means next Saturday, you guys get a day off. You get to go outside, do whatever you want. You don't have to watch the show. If you're in Vegas with us, you can sit. Mittens and I will probably be at a bar. We can help. We'll do a show for you in person if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I herf blurfs for free because I love sniffing my own farts. So, like, you know, if you getting me to at Vegas, I talk. I don't really ever stop talking. There'll be lots of blurfs herfed. It's going to be really nice because it's going to be the first time we've ever first time we've had a chance to get a large group of people together after the war, and also just missing Vegas. And it's going to be a completely different experience because we're going to be ground zeros on Fremont Street. And I think that is just going to be a really interesting dynamic compared to previous eVeguses. And I'm excited for it because there's a lot of cool stuff that's actually off the beaten path on Fremont Street because they design it that way because people off the street might ruin everything. But there's like a lot of like hidden nifty stuff back there, and we're going to get a chance to dig deep and wallow in decadence and gluttony. So yeah, it should be good.
It'll be great. We're going to enjoy ourselves. So everybody, this has been the Meta Show for the week of October the 16th, 2021. Today is Saturday. In 4 days, we will be in Vegas. I'm Brisker Ball, joined by the Mitanni. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not next week. 2 weeks for the Meta Show. And you stay classy, New Eden.